So how did you first get involved or come across Concerned Student 1950?
In October, I was at MU's homecoming parade, like many other members of the MU community, and I noticed that the homecoming parade had stopped a couple of blocks from where I was, and I walked down to see what it was, and that's when I encountered Concerned Student 1950. I was really moved by their message, and I was disappointed with the crowd's reaction to them. It was a fairly antagonistic response. And like many faculty who take a stand for their students when they feel their students need help, I stepped forward and locked arms with the students so that they wouldn't feel alone in that angry crowd.
When you say their students, did you know any of these students?
I had never met them before, no.
So why did you decide to jump in relatively quickly without knowing a whole lot about what they were up to?
Well, I don't know that I jumped in relatively quickly, but they were clearly emotionally distraught. The actions that they were taking were taking a lot out of them, and they were recounting moments of racial moments in MU's past, and they were things I didn't know about MU, and I was really moved by what they were saying, and I felt that they needed support, and I wasn't the only person who went and stood with them, but I did. It was hard to watch, and I wanted to offer them support.
So there's this encounter with them at homecoming, and then was there any contact with 1950 after that?
Well, I discussed the incident with my classes I was teaching, and I had a journalism student in one of my classes who had asked me if I could help facilitate an interview. And I learned from another colleague that they had a Gmail address, and I emailed the Gmail address, but nothing ever came of that. I wasn't able to help facilitate that interview. But no, after that, no. I didn't encounter them again until after the MU football team gave their support to the hunger strike.
Mm-hmm. And so the resignations of Tim Wolf and Chancellor Lofton happened on a Monday, and I think the football team got involved on Saturday or Sunday, so that's
early
the timeline.
Early Saturday morning,
So that's when you kind of got reintroduced to this group.
Well, I was
certainly
following, like everybody else in the community, following what would happen with this hunger strike. But no, I didn't have any engagement with them until the football team gave their support to the hunger strike.
And what was your engagement from that point?
Well, I stopped by the camp on the Carnahan Quad where the students were living to see if they needed anything. I was pretty late to the party, actually. They had a lot of bags of donations from members of the community. They were quite well taken care of. In fact, they had so many donations that they had two tents only full of bags of donations. And so when I asked, what can I do to help, the faculty members and staff who were already working at the camp said, we need help organizing these supplies. So I couldn't stay on Saturday, but I did come back on Sunday. And I spent most of the day sorting blankets and mittens and hand warmers and socks. And that's pretty much what I did all day on Sunday.
And then returned on Monday morning?
I returned on Monday, like many faculty, staff, and graduate students. The graduate students had called a walkout to support the hunger strike that day, and the faculty followed. And so I came back to the camp and sorted more donations that had come in and generally tried to help out wherever I could.
So was there any sort of advice you gave them on communication strategy or anything like that in the way they were working with the press or not working with the press?
No, I know that's a pretty logical question given my my PhD in communication, but the majority of the time I was present on the camp on Sunday, I didn't even encounter the members of Concerned Student 1950. I worked with faculty and staff. I don't think they even knew that I was I mean, I don't think they knew who I was. And so nobody ever asked me for any advice on what they should be doing, nor did I ever offer it.
What's it like watching that video now?
When I watch the video, I feel embarrassed and very sorry for my behavior in that moment. I was there present trying to do good work and to support students that I felt were under threat on campus. I wanted to make sure they were warm and had food. I wasn't prepared for that encounter. I don't have any crowd management training. And I was a guest at the camp. And so I didn't do a good job of handling that encounter. And, you know, I try and remind myself that even though it's not a good representation of who I am as a person, that it's one moment in my life where I did make a mistake. Unfortunately, it was put on YouTube, but it is just one moment in my life, and I was there trying to do the right thing.
What would you have done differently?
Well, things moved very quickly that day. Things felt hectic, and I see myself in the video being very flustered and unprepared to handle that situation. I definitely would have slowed down. I would have had a more respectful conversation with the person that I encountered. The person I encountered broke through the spontaneous circle that had formed around the students to give them some time. And he didn't introduce himself the way that the professional journalists I'd encountered that day commonly introduced themselves. So given that the students were under threat, I was concerned about who he was. So my intention was to protect the students, but I could have done that in a much more peaceful way.
So would you still do that again if you had the opportunity to, not the way you did it, as you're saying, but to still try to defend their efforts to have a space for them to meet without press presence?
Well, you know, I think there's a lot of the context of the story that hasn't been reported. And I think part of that is that the students had been speaking with the media all day. They asked for a temporary break to prepare for a press conference they would have in front of the press that day. And so I do believe the students had a right to ask for that quiet moment to plan to prepare for the press conference. So I still believe in that. How I would handle that differently, I'm not sure I can give you the particulars on that, but it would have been a lot more peaceful and respectful.
Mm-hmm. Afterward, what conversations did you have with those students, the journalists or students there recording that you came in contact with in the video?
The day afterwards, I reached out to both of them and offered my apologies to both of them.
And it's been reported that one of them did not accept that apology.
That's correct.
And so that obviously, how did that affect your ability to have resolution from this too, I guess, that you've got somebody who's not accepting your apology for the thing that you do regret doing, you say?
Well, I think all people can probably identify with making a mistake in their life, and you can only hope that when you make that mistake, you're not being recorded. The way that, you know, I've come to understand that I can't control how people react to the mistake that I made. I can only say that I'm sorry. The situation became a bit more complicated because that person wouldn't accept my apology. And, you know, I don't know what to say other than that. I wish that he would accept my apology. I wish that I could say it in a way that would be meaningful to him. And I'm happy to keep trying.
Mm-hmm. There was this, obviously, not just your actions, but others there that day set off a big conversation about the First Amendment and the way it applies in these types of situations. And there are even some state laws that apply interestingly to campuses. Did this experience change your understanding of the First Amendment in any way?
Well, I really like what Ken Paulson, who's the president of the First Amendment Center, said in his reflection on the video. He said he didn't see a violation of the First Amendment. He saw people struggling for their First Amendment rights. And I do believe, while I'm not a First Amendment scholar by any means, the First Amendment's a bit more complex than the way it's been reported in many instances reflecting on the video. The students were using their First Amendment rights to assembly to be present, as were the MU faculty and staff who were there. And so, again, I didn't believe the person who approached me was working for the media, and I, in fact, learned afterward he was not on assignment that day and was not a journalism student. So my instincts told me that there was something I should be concerned about there. And so my goal was to protect the students who I believed were under threat, and I wanted to protect their First Amendment rights to assembly.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to a special report from the KBIA newsroom. I'm Ryan Famuliner, and today I'm talking with Melissa Click, the MU communication professor who's currently suspended from her position as the university investigates her actions during demonstrations on campus last semester. And Dr. Click, that's where I think we should talk about now, too. There have been calls from state legislators, other people in the community, a curator, for you to be fired or for you to resign. Have you thought about resigning?
Well, I think people have brought it up enough that it would be foolish for me to tell you I haven't thought about it. But I would say that I love the University of Missouri. I love working there. I believe that in my 12 years on faculty, I have been a steadfast supporter of MU's mission and its students. I don't believe that anyone's career should be judged by one mistake. And so I would ask the people who feel I should resign or that feel I should be fired to please give me due process, to please put the mistake that I made in context, to keep in mind that, even the night before this video was recorded, there was a truck driving around the students' camp to intimidate them. The students were under threat. There weren't campus police present that I saw, and that left the faculty and staff who were present that day to try and keep peace. I did my best. I made a mistake. I apologized for it. The University of Missouri had some difficulties last fall. I believe that the new administration is really bringing a lot of positivity to campus, and I'm really excited about MU's future, and I believe that that I can play an important role in that future, and I'm going to fight for my job.
There have been some legislators saying this could affect funding for the university, and there's stories of donors saying they won't donate until you don't work here anymore. How does that affect this equation on thinking about how this could affect the university?
Well, I think that many public universities are finding their missions at odds with the boards and legislators that govern them. And having reported in the state of Missouri, I'm guessing for a long time, that there has been some antagonism between the legislature and the University of Missouri. So I think I've become sort of a symbol of that, but I'm no means the origin of that. I think I might be a convenient symbol at this moment.
What makes that so? Why do you think you're a convenient symbol?
Well, I think the fact that the video recorded of my mistake went viral and called attention to me and to what happened that day makes it convenient. I also believe that it's somewhat convenient to be angry with me instead of the students who actually were the ones. I'm not blaming the students, but it was their movement that caused the change that happened that day. It wasn't my mistake. I made a mistake as a guest at their camp. But I think it's easier to express anger at a woman who got flustered and made a mistake than to really engage with the deep racial issues raised by the students.
There is a moment in the video, a few moments before you show up in the video, where there are two African-American students talking to each other. One of them has been in a confrontation with one of the journalists, and he whispers to the other one, or not whispers, says to the other one, "Don't change the story, man. Don't change the story." Mm. And is that what happened here?
Well, as someone who analyzes the media, I'd say there's a lot going on here. What has happened is very complex, but I do think that's part of it. I think there's a lot of anger directed at the students, directed at the football players, people wanting someone to be held accountable for the president's resignation. And I see why I might be a convenient target for that. But I think while I did make a mistake, I'm not trying to justify by any means my actions. I regret them and I'm sorry for them. I do think I'm somewhat a convenient target in this situation.
There's also been some criticism of your work, too, studying things like 50 Shades of Grey, Lady Gaga. And that's something here from legislators saying we need to look at what we're teaching at our universities, how our tax dollars are being spent. To that criticism, why is your work fitting here and worth tax dollars?
Well, you've asked me a really big question. I think that criticizing the mistake that I made and apologized for doesn't take very long. And I think to continue to express the hatred and animosity toward me that so many people have felt, they had to migrate to other aspects of my career to do that. Ironically, the work that I do is to analyze how media audiences respond to particular media phenomena. I'm particularly drawn to ones that tend to be things that are criticized and demeaned in popular culture. So I'm not particularly surprised that there would be criticism of my work. But I do think that as someone who teaches students how to enter the world of entertainment media, that certainly the legislators and anyone else who dismisses my work could understand that understanding how audiences respond to billion-dollar media phenomena is an important skill for students wanting to work in the media industry.
So right now, we mentioned earlier, the University of Missouri Board of Curators has suspended you with pay while they undergo an investigation. So you're not teaching classes right now. Do you have any indication or idea of what the future holds in that process?
Well, I think it sets a dangerous precedent when a board of curators disregards university policy and decides to take matters into their own hands. It concerns me about academic freedom. It concerns me about the fairness of the processes I'll be subjected to. I haven't had any communication with them since they suspended me 2 weeks ago. I was told it would be a brief investigation. I've had to find many substitutes for my classes that meet without me. I'm very eager to be back in the classroom. I miss my students. I know they miss me. I have a lot of good work left to do here at the University of Missouri, and I'm ready to be back in the classroom.
Was there communication with the board before this decision to suspend you, and what were those communications like?
I didn't have any communication with them before that.
Okay. Shortly before that board's decision, the interim chancellor, Hank Foley, held a press conference the day after charges were pressed against you by the city prosecutor that later were, those charges were suspended. But the chancellor basically announced that there was going to be no action. It was kind of a non-announcement, but did say that your tenure review process is coming up and that process would proceed as it would have normally. What do you think your chances are for tenure?
Well, again, I would have to say that I'm concerned by the Board of Curators' actions because I believe they have created an environment in which I can't be evaluated fairly. And so that is an ongoing concern that I have. I do wish and am happy for the investigation because I want people to know why I did what I did and that I'm sorry for it. I did make a mistake. But I would hope that if the mistake I made would be put in the context of my 12 years of steadfast service to the university, that I would be treated fairly. My hope is this will all work out in the end.
If you are able to stay at the University of Missouri, how can you make it right? Will you try to make it right to get past everything that's happened?
Well, you know, I don't know what more I need to do beyond apologizing and admitting that I made a mistake. And I've never been involved in anything like this before. And, you know, I've won teaching awards. My scholarship is well respected. I have a lot to offer the university. I would like to help put the event And all of the events from that day, because certainly that day was a historic day, much bigger than my mistake. I would like to help the university grow and develop. I think there's a lot that is exciting about the university's future. I think I have a lot to offer it.
What do you think your life would look like if you don't work at MU anymore?
I'm a resourceful person. I'm sure I will survive that. But it's not something I think about very much because I do intend to fight for my job. I made a mistake, and I would like that mistake to be put in the context of my 12 years of good service.
What have you learned from all this?
I've learned more things than I could probably answer in the few minutes we have left. I've learned a lot about the way the media works, certainly the other side of a viral event. I've learned a lot about that. I've learned a lot about the importance of being sensitive to students' needs. I've learned a lot about the complexity of the issues facing many college campuses right now. Many things. My list could go on forever.
Sure. And then how has this changed your life? I mean, you've been the focus of not just all of this official scrutiny from legislators, but also social media and blogs and media in general. How's that changed your day-to-day existence?
Well, I tend to be a fairly upbeat person. I hope for the best. I try and give my best to other people. One of the unexpected outcomes is really the amount of support I've received from people I didn't even know very well. It's reconnected me with old friends who saw this story in the media. So I could certainly dwell on the negative things that this incident has brought to my life, but I would say I've learned a lot. I've grown a lot as a person, and I definitely feel the support of my friends and colleagues.
Is there anything else you'd like to add or anything you think we've missed?
I think you asked me a good amount of questions. I guess I would continue to say that I made a mistake. I apologized for it. I wish I could go back and do it again. I would really like for people to understand the context of that day, that the students were speaking to journalists and did so both before and after that incident, that the students were under threat and we were trying to protect them, that it wasn't just me, there were many faculty and staff present, and that, you know, I feel like I still have a lot to offer the university, and I'm hoping this is going to turn out all right for everybody.
All right. Dr. Melissa Click, thanks for taking some time today.
Thank you.
That's it for our special report from the KBIA Newsroom, an interview with Melissa Click, the MU communication professor who's currently suspended from her position as the university investigates her actions during demonstrations on campus last semester. I'm Ryan Femuliner. Thanks for listening.